Our King, we give you glory for the opportunity that we have to sit around your feet and to learn wisdom from your Spirit. We ask today that you bathe us in your truth, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, so that we will see that aspect of our life that has given the devil the advantage, that he has sapped us of the capacity to attain to our fullest potential. We ask for grace and strength in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Please welcome somebody to Women Conference. This time we are going to climb out of the valley. Welcome somebody. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, a friend of mine, I don't know how he got here, friend of mine from Abuja. I'm still wondering how he got here. Please make welcome my friend Dr. Ikenna. Hallelujah. Mommy, I could give him a handshake of fellowship as you welcome him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk about the place of women in the agenda of God, it's a critical situation. Because women happen to be the gate from eternity to time. And when Satan wanted to enter into this ecosystem, what he did was that he camped around a woman. And that woman was able to grant him access into the delicate balance of the visible creation, and he brought corruption into it. And when God wanted to redeem humankind, because God's deliverance follows the pattern of Satan's corruption, it was a woman that Satan consulted in order for him to administer treachery to the physical creation. And so in order for redemption to take its course, God had to also partner with the woman by sending a prophecy right there in the Garden of Eden, when the mess was created, that the pathway to deliverance will yet come through a woman, because she is a significant creature that is designed by God to provide a gate of access from eternity to time. The glory of womanhood is in the stature of the kind of men that they produce, because in this man, God has a possibility of fulfilling his intention. She is a critical functionary in the agenda of God. And just in case you are not aware, the move of God will only go to the extent, I'll show you from the Bible, it will only go to the extent to which women are in partnership with God. I know a pastor, very powerful man of God, moves in signs and in wonders. But for 8 years of his life, his wife decided to pitch her tent against him. As powerful as he was, his ministry could not amount to anything. He is physically strong and he is spiritually strong. He has the word of God and he is a cutting-edge minister. You will be blessed if you sit under his ministration. But his feeble wife, operating from behind the scene, had the capacity to detonate every effort that he puts on ground to advance the kingdom of God. You might consider them to be a feeble folk until they are pitched against you by the galvanization of the devil. Oh my God. So the purposes of God will only advance to the extent to which women decide to align with God. Don't worry, we are going for a ride today. I trust that God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Many times when I pray, I thank God that he gave me a woman that is supporting my life. Because don't clap yet. Wait. The clapping is coming too early. You see, it doesn't matter how powerful you are, you still have weaknesses. Your wife, if she wants to work against you, can exploit a few of them. And that powerful man will lack the ability to maximize his potential. There's going to be a situation of capacity underutilization if you don't have a partner in your wife that is poised to provide platform for your expression. May you, young men, may you, may the Lord help you. In the name of Jesus. In the practice of ministry, because of my calling and the peculiar nature of the office that God has decided by His mercy to install me, I'm very nomadic. I do so much itinerant ministry. I can wake up in one country and sleep in another country. I can, all kinds of stuff. Journeying and traveling, it comes to me with ease. I can migrate and before you finish a phone call discussion, I'm on a crusade ground somewhere shouting hallelujah. Now if you rove the way I do and you don't have an infrastructure behind you around which your kids can grow and be sustained, and in old age you will know that you missed it. In old age, because you deliver the world and demons will disciple your children. At the end of the day, your life will be a contradiction. A woman is a powerful creature. The man with the womb that has the gate from whence eternity can actualize purposes in time. Let's do a Bible study quickly. I need to show you the scenario of the first woman and the weaknesses that the devil exploited, so that you will look at your own life and find if such weaknesses are existing. She can easily be susceptible to that spirit called witchcraft. Easily. And I'll show you why. It is because of her wiring. And if the Lord, if she's not filled with God, she can become a weapon. A woman. I've seen great men cry because of little women. Very little. But men. The men that men call men. I've seen a few of them cry because of little women. May the Lord help us as we journey together. In the name of Jesus. The reason why I've been dodging from women conferences is because I don't know if we can stand the truth. So for many years I eloped. And this year my wife insisted, you know, she's a powerful woman. Turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 3. And for those of you listening online, you are welcome to the house of God. There is a transmission that is vibrating here. And I believe that God will heal and God will replace everything that is lacking in your faith. In Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. I would like you to underline with her. Her husband was not in the farm. Her husband was not about the bush. Her husband was right there while the communication was taking place between the serpent and the woman. And when she had come to the conclusion of the fact that the fruit was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it and she ate.
and also her husband with her. Are you with me? Now, so the actor, the true actor of the Garden of Eden was Eve. Amen. Now, let's lay the text properly. Because the devil happens to be a spirit. Now, the question is, why is it that the devil chose to possess a serpent? So many options of what he could possess. He could possess a dog. He could possess a cat. But in the case of that we have in the Garden of Eden, it was what? A serpent that Satan decided to possess. I'm trying to lay the text. Because I came here with a map. A map. And I want to lay the foundation, the premise of Scripture, that will occasion that map before we begin our navigation. And I trust God that during the course of this weekend, God will put several things in perspective. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You see, God calls us and He calls us differently, and He gives us errands to run that are also different. Hallelujah. Some of my friends came to me and said, why is it that your preaching is always hard? It's because you are hard yourself. It's not the word of God that's hard, it's you. So a part of you is influencing the texture of the word of God that you preach. I'm not hard. It's just that I'm a representative of a kingdom. And as much as possible, as God makes the grace available, I try to represent that kingdom well. So that every man thereafter will have the opportunity to make a choice about the extent to which he or she feels he wants to navigate with God. My question is this. Why did Satan possess the serpent? If you read in Genesis chapter 3, you will see that the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than every beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Oh my, I don't have time to explain the Lord God. That's Jehovah Elohim. That's the name of Jesus in the Old Testament. Are you here? So it was Jesus that did the actual creation. Yeah. It was the Father that did the proclamation. There was a distance between the proclamation and the actualization. There was an administrator that operated in between. I don't have time to build that. Amen?
Amen.
Jehovah Elohim. Whenever you see Jehovah in the Bible, it's God's covenant name. Okay, let's leave that. My question still goes, why was it a serpent? First of all, I would like you to understand that there was a quality that the serpent had over and above every other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And that quality is what? Is subtlety. Now, when we say someone is subtle, that guy can come to you and begin to talk. What he's trying to do is to extract an information from you. But you start the gist as if it is something else. And when you are taken off guard and taken in the gist, the person will now introduce the questionnaire when you are excited. Because you are likely to lose discernment when you become excited. To this end, the Bible says mourning is better than rejoicing. Because when you are rejoicing, you lose your discernment. When you are mourning, you are more mentally alert. Have you gone to, if you go to a man that is mourning and you ask him for money? Have you ever tried that? He is very alert. Meanwhile, if you wait for a man and he's so excited and say, I want to go to school, you are likely to get something. But if he's mourning, he's very alert. It's not possible for you to excite him at that time. His senses are at work. His alertness is on full bar. You see, the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Are you here? Now, it was that quality of subtlety that the devil wanted as an advantage. That was why he chose to possess the devil. That means his intention, if he wears the body of a serpent, are you here? will not be easily discernible because of the superfluous capacity of subtlety that was built into the serpent. Oh, you are not following me. How many of you still remember Volkswagen Beetle? There's a vehicle called Beetle. If you ever drove one, okay, mommy drove. Now, the gear lever of a Beetle is a wonderful piece of equipment. When you press the clutch, you drive the clutch in to engage the gear, you now discover that the gear lever has its own wheel. First of all, it gives a rejection sound. It means is you will develop muscles unconsciously trying to steer the wheels of Volkswagen Beetle. Hallelujah. But if you find yourself in an ML, Mercedes-Benz, oh my God, that vehicle is designed to interpret your intention. You see, it is the equipment that is being used that determines expression. You want to go at 120 kilometers per hour, as you engage the gear, two times it will reject first. It means the engine and the gear has its own wheel. It doesn't matter what you want. You want 120, it will give you 60. That's, you need to cope with 60 because that's what Beetle has to offer at that time. You see, so the vessel will determine the expression, and that's why Satan decided to take on the vessel of a serpent because he wanted the advantage of subtlety. And then when he wore that garment, he now came to the woman and said, "Did God say that you should not eat of the fruit of any tree?" Hallelujah. First question is this. Now, if Adam was standing with Eve, are you here? And it was Adam that God directly addressed about the rules and regulations around that tree, was Satan not supposed to direct his questions to Adam? But Satan decided to direct his questions to Eve. And even though Adam was there, Eve was the one talking. One of the reasons why Satan was able to succeed on Eve was because Eve was not operating under authority. She usurped authority. And that's why Satan's deception prospered. She was out of sync, out of joint with alignment. The man that had authority to speak on those matters, who God addressed on those issues directly, was there. What she picked and what she was working with was discipleship documents. And unfortunately, Adam did not disciple her properly. Let me show you something. Come with me. Are you there? All right. Let me show you evidences of the limitations of Adam's discipleship. Verse 3. But the fruit, this is Eve speaking. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, God did not say that Adam should not touch it in the original discourse. It was Adam that added, "Ye shall not," what? "Touch it." So there's a problem. I don't have time. I would have digressed. I would have shown you how God speaks. Then I will show you how man speaks. Because it was Adam that asked, added, "You shall not touch it." Now, the name of that is called religion. But I don't have time. It's man that creates religion. Right? When God speaks, it's government. Adam now added religion to it. And then, when the devil speaks, it's deception. I don't have time to show you the difference between government, religion, and what? And deception. And these three speaking types were present in the Garden of Eden. Now, the danger of adding to the counsel that God gave to Adam, because Adam said maybe he wanted to protect his wife, so he now added, "Don't touch it." I want to believe that in the garden when Eve was sweeping, One day, she stumbled on something and she touched the tree. And she didn't die. And nobody heard of that. So she now wondered and said, if touching did not kill, why do you think that eating will kill? That's a problem of adding your own. Are you following me? So Adam did not do a very good job in discipling Eve. And when the day came, we saw Eve usurped authority and was speaking on behalf of the human race. Meanwhile, the person that interacted with God directly was the one that had the authority to do that job. So the first challenge that Eve had was the challenge of usurping authority. Please write that down. Usurping what? The name of that casual statement I made is called witchcraft. Because witchcraft means illegitimate authority. Someone that is not legitimately the person that is saddled with the responsibility of authority, trying to wield authority. And when the devil notices that fracture in your civilization, oh my, that is the same fracture that was in the devil's civilization, because he decided, he said, I will ascend above the stars of God. I will pitch my throne on the mountain. He was talking about Zion, that he was going to take his throne and put it on the mountain. He was an angelic prince. He was going to pitch his throne on Zion. And he will now become the administrative personnel of the company of the Godhead. That was what he coveted. The office of the administrator, which was eventually given to Christ. Are you with me? But he coveted that office. He usurped authority. It was not given unto him. But he wanted to take it. That's the same crime that he committed, for which he was driven out of the paradise of God. And when he saw the same tendency with Eve, Eve became the spokesman that he was communicating with. Because this one already has an inclination to my kind of civilization. So the first challenge we see about Eve was that she did not understand the implication of operating outside of authority. And anywhere women are gathered, anywhere women are found, the first thing you need to check if you are a proper woman is whether you are operating under authority. The way God created the ecosystem of a woman is such that a woman can never attain to her full potential if she's not operating under authority. I know you may not like what I'm talking about, but this is God's design. And God's design, as archaic as you might see it, is the instrument by which we will know whether you have tendencies to usurp authority. And anytime you do so, you become compatible with Satan. You know, I guess we have some people. Yes, marriage committee people are here. You have been counseling us before we get married and all of that. If you listen to the data that our functionaries in the marriage committee have about in terms of the psychology of the average Christian lady, the average Christian lady is already off foot in this matter. You see, as an individual lady sitting here now, it's not very obvious whether you are submitted to authority or not. But if you are going into the marriage institution, there is an approved order as to how marriage will operate, because God gave the man the gift of headship. He didn't earn it. He gave him as a gift. And headship is a responsibility. Is through headship that we determine the spiritual influence that will operate in an ecosystem. You see, you might be born again, right? But if you want to get married, if you want to get married, we'll go to your village. Is that true? You can't marry here. you have to go and transact with your family. Then that headship factor will now begin to manifest. If you see a family where darkness is operating, it is the use of headship that is responsible for the presence of darkness. Because headship is a gift that God gave. And that gift is with the man. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? Now, you see, in this natural world, things like authority do not matter. Doesn't matter. But in the supernatural world, that world exists on the pillars of authority. That civilization cannot be sustainable if authority is not recognized. Right? So everything that God does, the civilization of that realm that is projected into this realm has very rigid authority patterns. Because it must be reflective of the kingdom from whence it is expressed. One of such issues is a marriage institution in which God has passed on the gift of headship to the man, and the place of the woman, therefore, is a place of submission. Meanwhile, it is not something that happens naturally. In the chapter of marriage, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the thing God says men should do are the things that men don't have the ability to do. The thing God says women should do are the things that women, natural women that have not touched the Holy Ghost, do not have the ability to do. It is natural for a woman to love, but Baba now says we should be the one that should be, we should excel in loving our wives. And he gave us a yardstick, a measurement by which we should love. Don't love her how Igbo men love women. He said, love her as Christ loved the church. We don't have love in us. There's no love there. The only way you can fulfill that requirement is that the love which is God, that has been tabernacled in your heart by the Spirit of God, becomes the conduit through which you can fulfill that reality. So a man that has not met Christ, that has not met him as Lord, cannot fulfill the prescription of that scripture. And his life is going to be a contradiction to that which is required, because he has not met the lover, so he cannot love. It's very difficult for a woman to submit. Because when you see a woman standing before the mirror, it takes 1 hour before she feels she's good. There's so much investment in self. The hairline must be aligned. Sometimes they will even call you to come and make a comment. What? My God. As I help out, I speak in tongues. I can mock it. My God. Oh, hallelujah. Because all this investment is on self. Alright? I'm not saying don't make you. If you come with that and you are shabby, I will call your name from the pool. But I'm saying that's orientation. You like it when you feel good. You like it when everybody knows that you showed up. There's so much investment in self. That's the orientation, alright? So when you are not noticed, you feel that they don't like you. Go and grow up. We are not aware that you showed up. We are not aware. There was a politician once upon a time that got interested in what we're doing. And she wanted us to treat her like a politician in the church. Oh my God. I'm too busy. You need help. If you enter into any capacity of leadership, you will not know how much help you need. You are the one that needs the prophet. Huh? The prophets of our own order of priesthood don't look for politicians. If you discover you have a need, then you will find out how your need can be met. We will not disrespect you. But we cannot belittle the office of the priest just because you won an election. Meanwhile, if God gives me grace and the government of this state begins to recognize me, I will not take money from them. I can feed my family by God's grace. And I don't have any more stuff to ask for. God has helped me. So I will do what I need to do as service unto the land, so that the name of Jesus will not be blamed. If I need money, I won't call the governor. Maybe I'm pressed, I need money. I will call brethren and say, we'll solve it as a family problem. But to portray the name of Jesus like a beggar is not part of my model. So when she realized that nobody knew she came, she stopped coming. It's better for such people not to come. They'll cause problems. Because in the house of God, Jesus is the center of attraction. The preacher is just a vessel. I cannot do what I'm doing now if I've not heard God. I had to sit. Meanwhile, pulpit delivery is just maximum. You have 1 hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. Right? But you know how much it takes to secure the mind of God behind the scene. How much of fasting? How much of prayer? Oh, many people say, your tapes burn like fire. That's output. And input is more than output. Oh, you don't know how many days. Jesus. Meanwhile, they cook in my house. You will see turkey. Turkey that can make you deny your fast. It's quite a challenge to fast there. Because something will be smelling you. When you trace it, it's turkey. My God, Sammy. Milakore Masiya. And then we say, no. I serve Jesus. If anytime I'm confused, something is attracting, drawing my, I make this in one incantation. I just say, I serve Jesus. I come back. That's my incantation. If we are traveling from here to Abuja, you can ask Philip. Yes. I will say, Jesus, help. That's an involuntary action. I will say it up to 50 times before we get to Abuja. Because anytime there is temptation, like they call you to come and prophesy to a big man, and the man wants you to lie, what I will say is, I serve Jesus, I will come back. What I say thereafter is not my word. Yeah. Many times, I go with transport, because when I say my own, they won't transport me. I serve Jesus. Please tell your neighbor, I serve Jesus. I don't know what altar you serve, but I serve Jesus. The first question I need to ask you is, are you ready to be a woman? Because according to God, a woman is supposed to be an entity that operates covered. The concept of widow in the New Testament from Greek perspective is that a woman that is uncovered, which the religious church translated to her tie, a woman that is uncovered is a woman that has no authority over her. And the only situation where that can be approved is when the woman is a widow. So normally, in the Greek, they consider widow as what? As uncovered. She's uncovered because if the Nepal man wants to unjustly come and cut her light, she doesn't have the ability to stop him. There would have been somebody there that would have talked to the Nepal man with red eye, and he would have gone back. She is what? She's uncovered. And that state, that situation is not a very palatable situation. Meanwhile, the only approved time where a woman in a family context can be uncovered is when she's a widow. However, listen to me. Are you with me? The fact that she's yet a widow doesn't mean she should operate uncovered. And that's why God makes a minister of God a father of many nations. So that any uncovered person can still find covering, because a woman cannot maximize her potential outside of authority covering. I know you don't, there will be no amen today. That's why I've been running away from this. There will be no amen. Authority covering. If the prayer you pray, that prayer you pray is not so powerful if you don't have authority covering. And I'm going to show you from the Bible. Do you realize that if you come and make a vow and you go back home, your husband has statutory authority to cancel that vow without consulting pastor? So we need to train women to understand how to operate covered. Because the first error of Eve was that she usurped authority. The name of that error is witchcraft. Witchcraft is illegitimate authority. Are you still with me? So, for many women, the operating system is actually witchcraft. When she's no longer excited, are you with me? Can I talk?
Okay.
If you are single, your body is yours. But when you become married, your body belongs to your husband. And his own belongs to you too. If by any means, because of a crisis, you feel that how you will express your grievance is to go on strike, and then you now claim that your body is yours. What you have done is an error. Have you ever seen somebody that took offering to an Ezemu in the morning? And then in the night, he now goes back to the shrine and says, I changed my mind. If the Ezemu gives you the goat back, you took the goat and a lot of garbage. Because it's no longer the Ezemu that will fight you. It's the spirit you have robbed. Are you with me? On your wedding night, you gave your body willingly. That day, your problem started that day that you decided to take it. And it becomes yours again. Trace your problem. If you don't restitute that position effectively, it will make you uncovered. Because you have violated the principles of the divine structure. And there is nothing that comes from the realm of God that is not protected by his pattern and by his structure. And according to God, the structure under which the woman can flourish, can be protected, and can maximize her potential is a covered structure. The reason is because a woman actually has more potential than a man. And I'll show you that from the Bible. So the first challenge is what? She usurped authority. The husband was there. Why didn't she allow him to speak? Second thing, second challenge, was the woman's analytic capacity. Let us investigate how she concluded that that fruit was good. And the woman saw that the tree was good. 40% of the woman's problem is what she sees. Guy with biceps, the chest is large. He's 6'7". And she has always imagined herself being small beside a tall guy. Hey! Oh my God! Yakoba Sila Carrier. So she yields. Yeah. Oh my God. She has yielded even before the appearance. Because there's this idol she has that she wants to be beside a tall man. And that makes her, that her falling desire makes her to yield even before running a test, a check with God. Because the devil can actually come in that form that you like. Oh, in my sojourning as a young believer, I actually saw a woman, a damsel, that was a very image of my mental idolatry. I beheld a damsel. Oh my God. The height was the right height. Jesus. The way the nose was, that was where it was supposed to be. Come in, silike coma. You see, I labored in the corridor of fine arts for a while, so I understand symmetry and alignment. And I beheld the very image of my dreams. I saw her, and she was of my tribe. Jesus. You know, a kind of situation that comes where you don't need confirmation. If I had married that lady, I will not be here today. You know what? When the lady becomes angry, the anger lasts for 3 days. It means there was a stockpile of demonic treasure in that vessel. Men, look on the outer. May you not be a creature that was put into bondage because of what you saw on the outward. God's parameters for analysis happen to be the alignment of the heart. Oh, your identity is who you are in the heart. And the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, when I entered into that lady's family, I invoked the gift of word of knowledge. You know, we can create a scene. Especially when you want people to know you are anointed. Those were the days of the flesh. And I picked things up by the Spirit. I was given red carpet reception. Even before coming to inform the parents that I had intention, I had a place. They gave me a seat there. So the hard things were already solved. The simple ones now that I was going to engage in. And that was where I lost my peace, because I still have a Savior. It's not only from condemnation that God saves you. It's not only from hell He saves you. The Bible says with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him there is plenteous redemption. He saw the quagmire I was about to enter, and there was need for salvation. And He took all of my peace away. And I've taught for many years that you are in an emergency if your peace drowns. Oh, so I remembered my message. That was how I left without a proposal, because my peace drowned. And when I went back to Abuja, I said, God, what did you do there? It was 3 months later He responded. After I had gotten feedback from the mother that this lady you are seeing is my most beautiful daughter, but even her father is afraid of her, then I knew my ministry would have died. Your father. That means, who am I now? Oh, you are missing in action when you are locked up with a damsel that doesn't understand how to operate under authority. You might smile in the public place as you read your speech before the people with a three-piece suit, but when you go home, you die. Because the template of heaven has been violated. I've heard pastors that prayed with fasting that God should kill the woman beside them. Say, God, establish this man alone in this nation. I've heard such prayer. Establish him alone in the nation. That means, that's a polite way of saying, do something to this infrastructure. Naiko sila menokole. Meiko kantelia. When Eve showed up, she had an analysis system. She looked at the fruit and it was good for the eye. May your discernment capacity go beyond what your natural eye sees, because the Bible reveals that if what you see is what you see with your natural eyes, then you are blind. Because when God wants to show you something, He will now tell you, why we look not on the things that are seen. In order for you to see the real things, you will have not to look at what? At the things that are seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. I can tell you after how many years of marriage now. You see, I don't count the years again, because it's a cruise. Oh my. I don't wish anything less for you. It will be difficult for a woman to tempt me, because I have no challenge at home. Temptation becomes viable when there's a challenge in the ecosystem. A mighty man can look upon a maid and say, do you work? Suddenly the ancient communication will be invoked. You must learn how to operate under authority. Initially, your flesh will react to it. And that's why I tell young couples, it will take you 2 years to master the system. All the rebellion in you will come out first. Hallelujah. And if you are stuck with a hard man like me, you will know that there's no place for the rebellion. The only other alternative. No, there's no alternative, in fact. If you are stuck, and so you learn some practical lessons, and then you begin to adjust, and then you now go to the Lord, then you now pour grace into your vessel. And when grace comes, you can operate under authority. then your calling will start coming into view. Because if you pay the price to operate according to God's template, then God's purpose will begin to show. I know most of you are very intelligent, but intelligence will not put you in the structure. It will require a dealing from God. Oh, as a single sister, I know you think you are humble. Oh no. 3 months after your wedding, the powder of the wedding ceremony would have faded. And reality will come out. The rebel will show. And then when you manifest the rebel, Jesus will take his peace out of your heart. Then you will lose your delicate balance. You will know you can't continue like this for long. Then you ask him to teach you how to navigate. That's when he becomes king. And when he becomes king, he shows you great and mighty things that you do not know. When God forges people together, if you like, go to your village and get somebody from your clan, you will still see rebellion there. Your compatibility is not a function of migrating close to Kwande local government. So let's go to the clan. We are of the same blood. Our kin, our ancients, they were friends. You will discover how distant you are. Except the Holy Spirit bridges the gap and pours out the love which he has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This mystical is only if it supplies grace that harmony is born. And men will behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let me show you a scripture before I bounce. But my map will start coming out tomorrow because I'm spending too much time here. I came with a map. This map has 6 stations. It's a navigation for all women of destiny. There are 6 points you must arrive. And we were able to trace it through the scriptures. Every woman of destiny will have to navigate through that map. And just in case you are discipling your wife, I have a template for you here. Hallelujah. Come with me quickly, because I need to show you something before we jump out of the book of Genesis chapter 3. Amen. You were already correct, I know. You have... Okay. Use the other one. Now, see, Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Quickly. When God came to release justice, judgment, and equity in the Garden of Eden, when the authority system that he placed in the garden was breached, and a civilization different from that which it ordained found expression within the ecosystem, he came to bring judgment. Yes, media people, give me that scripture. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. This is the judgment on the serpent. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was a prophecy that God himself uttered about the coming of a woman. And this woman was going to produce a seed. And Jesus, in this scripture, is called the seed of the woman. Because it's the same mechanism by which the devil brought corruption that God intends to bring life. And this prophecy that came from the mouth of God is God's indication to show how strategic a woman has become in the affairs of God's economy upon the face of the earth. If not for the fact that the devil decided to choose the woman as his entry point, maybe a woman will not be relevant. But his choosing the woman as his entry point also made God to choose the woman as his own entry point, making her the gate from eternity to time, making her one of the most influential entities that walked the physical creation. God must negotiate with a woman for him to find a space to bring a seed that will deal with the serpent. Hallelujah. And that's why she's called woman, the man with the womb. And the womb is a gift that God has given a woman through which he can send mercenaries from eternity to time. That's why in Jewish culture, even if a woman that is a prostitute becomes pregnant, she does not commit abortion. The reason is because it's a nation of prophecy. And you may not know whether that child you want to kill will be the savior of Zion's household. So no woman, even no matter how vile, no matter how dark, ever commits abortion. And that's why you find stories of prostitutes that gave birth to children. And one slept on his own. And then before morning went and changed. Why would a prostitute give birth to a child? That's heavy cargo. That cargo will stand in the way of her enterprise. Yes, the enterprise is going to be slowed down because of that cargo. But you see, they kept children. If the protection that she uses to avoid pregnancy, if it doesn't work, she will keep the child. Because that child can be the answer to the woes of the land. She's different because she has a womb. And that womb means God's answer. God can come upon a barren woman that has been declared barren for so long. And when he seeks a prophet in a generation, he begins to look for a womb through which he could crystallize another entry into the equation that will tilt the scales and weight off darkness. Then all the wombs that are closed become a matter of interest. And that's how women like Hannah gave birth to icons like Samuel. The names of the other children she gave birth to were not known. But Samuel was the first priest that perfected the stature of the prophetic. You see, it is priestly ministry that gives birth to prophetic ministry. If me and you gather here every day and we begin to pray for 2 hours, after 2 years, many people will start seeing visions. It was Samuel that stayed faithful in priesthood long enough for him to mature in the prophetic. Out of him, a new story was being told in Israel. Because of the presence of Samuel, there was no need for a physical king. Because he was communicating to the spiritual king and bringing the policies of heaven to bear upon that nation. And that nation prospered. Even the Philistines could not attack Israel in the days of Samuel because his priesthood provided security roundabout. How would you think Samuel's mother will feel when he sees him in the toga of a prophet? He has answers to every crisis. Oh, he consecrated that mountain in Ramah and made it the house of prophets. How will his mother feel when he sees him? She lives long. I've seen a measure of that. Not small. I've seen small. You know when I used to study my Bible in the house those days? All night. And I do it for like 35 days. Because I wanted to know everything that was in scripture. I wanted to know the mind of God. I wanted to know what God was saying about every subject. So, Bible study was interesting. It was something I did all night. Hallelujah. And one day my mom came in the night and began to cry when she saw me studying the Bible. And I was wondering what was wrong. Then I realized, she started saying, the way you are studying this Bible is because you want to become mad. That even ordained reverence. I've not studied like this. This is your own. Another spirit has taken over. And because of how I loved her, I stopped studying the Bible at home. And I became an undercover preacher. I never let her know I was a preacher. Never. I will see people at home sick with sicknesses I know I have authority to cast out. I will prescribe drugs for them. You need septrin. And we kept rolling like that for a long time. Until one day, I was invited to preach in Lokoja. And then I went to tell her that, we saw your son on billboard. He said, no, it's not my son. We saw your son. And the way they did the publicity, they put me big. And then they brought her. I said, is this not your son? Is it? So she stayed back to attend the meeting. She was outside because she came late. And God came down. It was one of those days when God decided to leave the tap flowing. And the hand of God was so strong because I remember there's an infirmity that she had for which she had to go to Canada for an operation. And they did the operation, it was successful, she healed up. And when she came into Nigerian airspace, the thing came back. So you know it was not a medical situation. It has its roots in ancient things. Hallelujah. It was in that meeting that thing left. And she didn't have the opportunity to see me because the protocol didn't allow any. So my mother could not see me again. She now went home and came the next day hoping to see me. And the next day was the day of God. After these 2 days, my mother was speechless. Where she camped, she was speechless. So we saw on the third day, she behaved as if it was a privilege to see me because the protocol taught her a terrible lesson. Then she told me, "My son, you have increased my lifespan." Think of how Samuel's mother, when he came down from Ramah, oh God, it was as if he had all the problems. He knew all the solutions to the problems of the nation. It was on that mountain, Ramah, that Saul saw people that were playing on the harp and younger prophets were prophesying. When he entered into the first field, he himself, Samuel created a portal in Ramah that anybody that enters is likely to prophesy. And Saul prophesied naked. Have you seen prophecy that somebody prophesied? You prophesy until this suit that is like this is somewhere. He prophesied naked to show how Samuel has used priesthood to secure that space. It was like an embassy of heaven. Think of his mother. How his mother will now say, thank God that I lived. And the name of the other brothers and sisters that Samuel had as brethren never reckoned in the Bible. And so when God wants to solve a national issue, he begins to sample the wombs in the land. He comes to you again, just like he came to Mary. He comes. Because the full potential of your womb will find expression when you groan someday. As you grow as a woman, you will now discover that groaning is not just for giving birth. Groaning, physical delivery, is a school. It's a school to train you to understand that the full purpose and potential of a woman will never find expression outside of the corridors of groaning. And that's why the protocol of groaning is incorporated into childbearing, for you to learn it practically, because that is where you will be spiritually. You should be the groaning ones. The purposes of God do not prosper upon the face of the earth until there is the return of the groaning ones, who by physical childbirth have learnt that the full potential of a woman is actualized when she groans. Another thing we need to train every young lady to be proficient in is the art of groaning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God gave an utterance. So the same way through which Satan entered is the same way I need to enter. And through you I'll produce a seed that will bruise the head of the serpent. So that utterance pedestal the woman as a strategic entry point. If the beam balance of satanic presence will be tilted, then another woman needs to conceive. If the sorrows of a landscape will have to be overturned, then another woman will have to conceive. If the challenge of a people will have to be addressed, then another womb will have to be opened. And an outlet must be created from eternity to time so that God can have another messenger roll into the equation. It's like a chessboard, and the devil has his minions and he has his functionaries already arranged in the territory. And then just before the devil takes over, a woman takes in, and then the game changes, because it's the God that controls the weight of ordination that men carry. And that was what Jesus was trying to tell Saul. He said, Saul, why do you persecute me? it is hard to kick against the barbed wire. What has been ordained from eternity, you cannot thwart it in time. You can try, but you will never succeed. It is not given unto you to succeed. That was what Jesus, that parable was the parable of the martyrs. He shared one with him. It is hard to kick against the barbed wire. We see Boko Haram today rising up. We see all kinds of headsmen, kidnapping, all kinds of things happening, and nobody saying anything. I have a message for Nigeria. It is hard to kick against the barbed wire. The God of heaven has chosen this nation as one of the nations that is going to sustain the apostolic face of Africa. There is a covenant, and our intercessory fathers, men like Pa Elton, Babalola, Idahosa, they had consolidated the covenant, and it is a constitution. A grand norm was formulated on the account of their labors. And now, that which heaven has already sealed, it can no longer be thwarted. Come with forces. Come with henchmen. Come with kidnappers. Come with kill. As you kill one, the anointing will come upon another one. As you kill this one, it will rest upon another. Oh, it is hard to kick against the barbed wire. The parable of the immortals is hard. Please help me tell your neighbor, it's hard to kick against the barbed wire. I know how this script will end. Very soon there will be a cry in our nation. And that cry will give birth to a rising of light. Oh, the land will experience renewal. Yes, a light will soon come. I know how the script will end. Because it is hard to kick against the barbed wire. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now let me give you one point. Then we'll begin to pray. It's a map. A 6-point map. You know what I discovered in the Bible? If you check your scripture, check it when you leave here. You won't find as much as 2 Peters. You'll find only 1 Peter. And his name was not Peter before. His name was what? Was Simon. Go check your Bible, you won't find 2 Pauls. You find 1 Paul. But if you check your Bible, you are going to find not 1 Mary, not 2 Marys, not 3 Marys, not 4 Marys, not 5 Marys, you'll find 6 Marys. And the theology of Mary is the prophetic map for all women. These 6 Marys were involved in 6 strategic things that facilitated the agenda of God. And if we want to study women and to understand the potential of women and how they can facilitate the program of God, then we need to investigate the Marys of the Bible. So my message is the map of Mary. The map of what? Of Mary. And I give you 1 point, then I sit down. Tomorrow we continue. The what? The map of Mary. Because every woman that is in God, is in Christ Jesus, must play the roles that the Marys played. If you know that you are doing what the Marys did, then indeed you are fulfilling the blueprint, the prototype of the kind of woman that can facilitate the agenda of God. Come with me quickly. I'll round up on this note. Oh, my internet. Because I've seen it before. I saw a partnership of young men and women. And when this partnership was achieved, revival broke. And the lioness was restored. For many years, we have been operating as the body of Christ without fully acknowledging the capacities of the women. And that's why we have been walking with crutches. But the Bible speaks about the lioness. Oh, if you have studied the psychology of the pride lands, you will find out that the lioness is the best hunter. The lions don't really hunt as much as the lionesses do. But one lion can be married to about 12 lionesses. But when it's hunting time, they explore their strength. There is no beast of the field as good a killer like a lioness. And until the grace of the lioness is released, the highway from Egypt to Assyria will never be made. You know, the sons of the born woman came from up down. The Bible prophesies in the book of Isaiah that there will be a highway that will take missionaries from down up. From down the continent of Africa back to the Middle East. And there's going to be a revival in the Middle East when the lioness shows up. You know, God speaks in types and shadows. But until we unlock the anointing of the lioness, we will walk on crutches. Oh, I don't have time. See, the household of Lazarus. Eh? Lazarus' household was a typology of the church. There were two sisters and one brother. And it was real in scripture. If you read the book of John, you will find out that Jesus actually loved Lazarus. But the prototype of Lazarus' house, which is symbolic of the church, had two women and one man. The number of women in revival always surpasses the number of men. Now, all the ladies, all the sisters in the house, including our mothers, raise your hand. If we lose them, we die. Oh, see how many wombs are. Let's try it again. Raise your hand. Those of you sisters online, raise your hands also. Anywhere you are there. Hallelujah. They are always more in number in the civilization of the church's economy. Meanwhile, we have been operating. In fact, there have been debates whether women can be ordained, and then they sit in council meeting. Meanwhile, the Bible is written there. Huh? Are you with me? Junior was one of the apostles that Paul said she was notable among the apostles. Just like Paul was notable, nobody could deny that Junior was not an apostle. I don't know how people read the Bible. We are still debating. You say, okay. A collar will not look good on a woman's neck. That's why we walk on crutches. Because when the power of the lioness is revealed, then a highway will be created from Egypt, from the heart of Africa, back to the Middle East. And we'll take the missionary revival back to the place from whence the greatest darkness came from. This story will not end until people in Saudi Arabia say Jesus is Lord. Oh, oh, oh. This story will not end until people desert the Kaaba. This story will not end until the nations that worship the sun god turn their face and worship the Son of God. The story will not end. But that era will never come until the power of the lionesses are unleashed. Oh my. I can't preach anymore. Prayer is already unlocked in my spirit. Prayer is unlocked. The lionesses of Africa that will galvanize the nation called Nigeria, dripping into oblivion, through whose wombs petition and intercession can arise unto heaven. Women that have been trained to use their womb, not just for childbirth, but the art of groaning. People that have the capacity to move the hand of God and to insist that heaven must come down and the will of God must be done. Oh, some of us are born again today because our mothers were praying women. They prayed us into salvation. We had plans to be terrible people upon the face of the earth. I know that I would have been an easy mom. I love the supernatural. I would have ended up there. But an intercessor woman blocked the road. If only your eyes are open to see how much power that God has committed to you, you will stop the pity party and you will spread your praying mat and give your womb to Jesus. Oh, somebody in the congregation asking God for a child, asking God for a baby. Give God your womb first and let the vibrations of groaning begin to come out of that place. Let prayers be made from your womb. You know, when Peter was put in prison, the church did not pray prayer. The church made prayer. They made it. They made it. They migrated from praying prayer to making prayer. 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 The lioness must be revealed. We're going to pray tonight. And we are praying for the church in Nigeria. We're saying, God, unleash the lioness. Just in case you are here and there is a vibration that has been coming on your life in recent times, there's a vibration, the hand of God seems to be coming upon you in recent times, it's because God seeks an occasion to unleash the lioness. And when the lioness is revealed, you will find out that witchcraft was not as strong as you thought. Alemoseli. God is galvanizing the people. God is galvanizing a group of women, a group of sisters, training them on how to maximize the potential of the womb, giving them tutelage in the school of groaning. Groaning that brings forth, groaning that brings forth, groaning the mix to comfort. I come any seketalama. You might be listening to the sound of my voice from the United Kingdom. The Lord is saying He needs your womb. The next prophet may come from there. The next strategy of God may come from there. That gate is not only for childbearing, but is also to create a pathway for the hand of God. And the lioness in Nigeria, the lioness in Africa, the lioness in Europe, the lioness in the nations of the world must be unleashed in this time so that the agenda of God can prosper. I know you'll be running away. Many times God has called you into the place of deeper intimacy and you feel you will not be in control, so it's a dangerous place to be. When you submit to God, you don't submit to tyranny. You submit to mercy. You submit to His loving kindness. And He reaches into the deposits of the treasures in your spirit. And He awakens the lioness. You have so much capacity. So much power. So much grace. And God wants to call it forth in the days in which we live. If only you can surrender. If only you can surrender. If only you can surrender to the great monarch, the king, the king, the king. Then a little one will become a thousand. A small one will become a strong nation. You can pray that your child back to God. You can pray your daughter back to God. Oh my God, we need women that know the power of the womb. The devil wins when women are down. Satan triumphs when women are discouraged. Can you arise from the ashes? Can you arise from the swamp? Can you arise from the dust? Jehovah calls. Jehovah calls you. Jehovah calls you. We call for the lioness. We call upon the desert.
from the forest. Whatever has cumbered you, we release you from your hiding place, O lioness. There is a wind that is locked up in your womb. And we must see that wind in the days in which we live. Arise! 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 We call you! That the hand of God might descend upon your life. We pray to the lioness, arise. None among your children will be spoiled. Only arise. Kaposalineka. Kambresko vale vo vale. Alelekem baloma. Alelela komasalema. Alele, 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 alele. Saila bore mama kapata yeda. We call you forth from Nigeria. We call you forth. There is a wind in your womb. It is time to unleash it. Great power resides within you, and the hand of God comes upon you tonight.
Rababa sokena presko malade, malade. Oh, selo magalae. Ikamale. Ikamena kambaleba. Ikamena bandaleba. Oh, yeah. Sanina kambre. Sanina kambre. Sekombe lakase lakomanahama. Lakomanahama. Oh, senamanda. Lakomanahama. The lioness must come. Malelela, ikamena sola kambre na hovalia, osale makovalia, ekamoma, malisoso makale kone na valia, murasale makovalia, sale makovalia, ekokoma. Imana ye kosela mama lokema. Osalema kebalia. Osalema kebalia. Aleluya. Ikala le babo mama. Mokabela kebalia. The lioness comes up. Hallelujah! Ekabo, 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 male. Oh, mama zamena. Oh, mama zamena. Hey, si mama moze kale kale salaburu, ekaira se la kwambena. Si na mama. Oh, oh,
must come. She must come. In Jesus'
mighty name.
You may be seated. Ushers, let the offering baskets go round. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth.
And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Just because you are a woman has already pitched the devil against you. Because the devil knows that it may be that you carry the potential to bring forth salvation. This woman, which is symbolic of the church, is a woman that is on God's side. And so she is the devil's problem. But when we move to the book of Revelation chapter 17, we are going to see the devil's woman, the harlot. Are you there? Meanwhile, these wonders are not taking place on earth. They are appearing in heaven. Oh my, you are not with me. They are appearing where? Revelation 17. You will see at the end of the day, it's about the woman. Verse 3 says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. This is the harlot. Full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Two women in the book of Revelation. Two symbolic women. One is a chaste bride and the other is a harlot. When you align with God, you become a chaste bride. When you are not aligned with God, you become a pavilion for different kind of spirits. And the name of your story becomes that of a harlot. As we press further, you find that if the purposes of God will prosper upon the face of the earth, it means that women get to partner with God. The recovery must begin with you. You must become that voice, that pathway that enhances the avalanche of God. Once again, I welcome you to Women Conference. We will continue the proceedings by tomorrow morning.